undefined. I'm just beginning, the pen's in my hand, ending unplanned.
That's right, your story is unwritten, so life because you matter. Welcome to the Shrink and Wrap Show. My name is Tracy and I will be your host, and today is Valerie and Greg. Thank you both for being here today.
Thank you. Thank
yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, good luck. Ashley, thanks for having me. But we're going to be talking about online tennis, way of meeting friends and living a happy life and staying in shape, and they're going to tell us all about it. And in the meantime, we also are going to be talking about, you know, of course, the purpose of the show is to lift your spirits by offering you opinions and suggestions from a licensed therapist who is our shrink, and combining songs with what we use as song therapy. So listen to the lyrics closely in every single song that I play. They might just unlock some answers and emotions that you were never aware of. So also, before we get started, I've already said it twice.
That's your one for the day.
Yeah, that's
your one for now.
Okay, for all you listeners out there and for the both of you, I say that all the time. It's like, are we there yet? Because it's a nervous thing.
So for anybody who's new to the program and listening to the show, if you randomly hear this throughout the course of the show, don't panic. That's me centering Tracy from repeatedly saying before we begin.
Yes. So, yeah. Thank you.
I'm just letting everybody know there's no technical glitches. That's me doing that on purpose just to gently remind Tracy. That's all.
It's ridiculous.
Keeping that on point there.
That's right. So, anyway, but before we I didn't say it, but we're going to talk about the Shazam app. It's my show. I want everyone to know what the Shazam app is. So the Shazam app is S-H-A-Z-A-M. It's an app that helps you identify song in seconds, any song in seconds. And it's a great way to find out the name of a song when you hear playing in the background or to discover new music. Shazam is one of the most popular music apps in the world. So get it now. It's safe and you will love it. And it's free. So, I didn't say it, Matt.
All right.
I'm juking you.
All right.
So we're going to do our Loosen Up song because I feel like I need it. I'm going to play it a little longer because I love this, Valerie. This is called Shivers. Tell me who it's from.
Ed Sheeran.
You got
ding,
it.
Ding,
let's
ding.
Hear it.
Singing with Tracy show too.
But that was the best part of the song, so I couldn't let you cut it off there.
All right.
So, Eddie, welcome back to our show to all you listeners. And so we want, this show is about being your friend out there and lifting your spirits. And I would like to thank all of my friends and my family, and you know who you are, for all your support. Those are our sponsors in every way. It's sponsored by the Energy of Love. And I'd also like to say happy birthday to my beautiful mom. You are loved and appreciated more than you'll ever know. So happy birthday
to you. Happy birthday, Mama Tracy.
Yes. Happy birthday. Thank you. So where are we at now? We're going to talk about, let's play the fray right now. Do you have the fray?
Step one, you say we need to talk. He walks down, it's just talk. He smiles politely back at you. You stare politely right on through. Some sort of window to your right.
Have you all heard that song before?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think it's about?
Well, saving a life.
Saving a life in you know, well, I guess in any way, right? So I know we went from high energy, but part of this is making our lives better so we have a good, positive life. And the story behind the phrase song is how to save a life. And I think there's a lot of people that need help, you know, out there. And it has to do with the adolescence drug addiction, depression, and a guy by the name of Isaac was inspired by his own experience as a mentor to a 17-year-old. And it's about people who tried to help this boy but failed. You can imagine this is about addiction. Mm-hmm. And part of helping others and finding out why this addiction people. So today, hopefully, do we have Carolina on today?
We do, but give me a second.
Okay, we're going to talk there. So to me, addiction is such a big problem. And after reading about it, it's really affecting a lot of our youth, and I want to know, you know, a little bit more about it. We only have 15 minutes to talk about it today. You could probably have 6 months of it, but Valerie, do you have any say about addiction? You've worked in that field before.
I've worked in the field of alcohol addiction with women, and what we used was naltrexone.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a medication that you take an hour before you drink, mm-hmm. before you decide you would like to drink. And what it does is take away the endorphins that you get from alcohol so you don't get pleasure from it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can drink while you are on this medication.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, it is supposed to cause you to lose interest in alcohol.
Hmm.
And it takes a year or more. And, you know, it's tough for your family to understand that because they see you still drinking, but they don't understand, you know, that the medication is taking away that pleasure that you had.
Right. That's very interesting. I wasn't even aware of that. So that's brand new information right here on the Shrink and Wrap Show. I'm not even familiar with, and that's what I'm saying. I want people to learn more about it so they can do something about it and we can attack this problem that's going on in our country, in our youth, and to adults and everywhere. So that's why How to Save the Life, I like this song by The Fray. If you watch the video, mm-hmm. you see all these kids in there, and it's very, very touching. It's a very, gosh, it sends a big message, and it hits reality of what's going on in our country with all that. So so is Carolina on?
Yes, she is. She's right here.
Okay. Hi, Carolina. How are you doing?
Hello, guys. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Thank you. Thank you. We're doing good. We're sitting here. We got through the first Loosen Up song. I'm a little ADD today. But we're here. And I thank you for being here. We're talking about addiction, and you're... What about addiction coming off that song?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I think that first we need to start with a definition so that people understand what an addiction is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we use that word loosely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm addicted to this show or I'm addicted to this or that. But an addiction really is a chronic, lifelong relapsing disorder characterized by drug seeking and use despite adverse consequences.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it is considered to be a brain disorder diagnosable by the DSM-5 because it involves basically functional changes in brain circuits.
Mm-hmm.
So once the addiction has taken place and surges of dopamine have taken, you know, your brain has taken notice of those, it starts to develop different circuits. And so we seek more of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what an addiction really is. You know, just like anxiety is used loosely, you know, addiction is also a word that is very loosely used. And there's two types of addiction. There's substance addictions, and then there are non-substance addictions. And substance includes all of the, you know, perhaps familiar substances that we know about: cannabis, alcohol, things like caffeine, cocaine, inhalants, benzos, which we have a whole invasion of at this moment. And then there's the non-substance addictions, which are really, it's a whole other word for like,
mm-hmm.
so things like gambling and eating, shopping, pornography, gaming, things like that. They also give the same surge of substances too. So they are equally destructive,
mm-hmm.
perhaps not physically, but, you know, to families, to work, etc. So, do you have any questions?
Well, yeah, I think that's all information we need to know, because I think knowledge is power, and the more we know, the more we can identify this. I mean, a lot of people judge people that have addiction issues, and it's really not fair, and I think it's a sign of ignorance as well, because genetics is, you know, what do you think about that a little bit? I mean,
I think so too, and you know, there isn't a single cause to addiction. You know, we as humans are motivated to seek rewards. Mm-hmm. And usually for most of us, rewards come from healthy behaviors where your body releases dopamine. For example, a meal with a family, you know, and education, you know, work. I mean, rewards come through these things, spending time with a friend or a spouse or a child. The brain reacts normally and releases the appropriate amount of dopamine that you need to experience pleasure. Substances, on the other hand, you know, they send massive surges, like we said before, of dopamine. So people who are not necessarily content, you know, seek with learned behavior these surges of dopamine. And the causes can be genetics or mental health or the environment. And so it depends, you know, it depends on what we are trying to medicate, trying to seek. You know, we're not always trying to seek pleasure. Sometimes we're trying to dull pain, or sometimes we're trying to deal with trauma, or, you know, there could be. Mm-hmm. And so knowing the causes is very important, because you heard genetics in there, you heard mental health, you heard environment. So, you know, it's as important as knowing how to help yourself, you know. Mm-hmm. One of the most potent things that we can do to help ourselves in terms of avoiding altogether, what is our family history? You know, preventing the addiction rather than treating it is much more important. There's mm-hmm. also treatment, but, you know, avoiding the or limiting substances, understanding, having a hyper awareness as to how you feel about when you do something. Drinking, does it make you feel absolutely ecstatic? Because that's a really good sign and prediction of how are you going to feel in the future when you drink. Are you going to like that so much that you keep going back to it? Mm-hmm. Knowing how the family history functions, are there really addiction problems? Is there an alcoholic in your family? Is there a mental health issue in your family that perhaps, you know, runs rampant through it? Little, you know, things like ADHD, or, you know, big things like bipolar disorder. And how were they handled? Were they handled appropriately? Or did they become an issue that had, you know, coexisting codependent disorders? Because it means that that person decided to, instead of seeking medical intervention, they decided to seek something like a substance to quiet and to focus or to concentrate, things like Adderall, things like marijuana, to et cetera, et cetera. I think that the narrative they tell themselves and the seeking of the, you know, self-medication can lead to addiction. So knowing the mental health history is extremely important. Environment, you know, we go into environment when, for example, when we go into, you know, adolescence at college, or even living with, you know, parents who drink, you know, what is the availability of these substances around you? What is the availability for treatment if you were to have a mental health disorder? You know, socioeconomic standards actually impact the way that we deal with substance abuse disorders, because, you know, for some people it's cheaper to seek a joint than it is to seek a psychiatric intervention. And then, you know, ongoing treatment after that. So helping yourself, I should talk about that a little bit, after you identify the signs in yourself and ask yourself, you know, how do I know if I have an addiction? And that's important, because a lot of times we try to be, we minimize perhaps what we do, or we justify what we do. And so we have to ask ourselves hard questions when we are using any kind of substances. And more specifically than not, because it, you know, it's very difficult to break, it's painkillers, alcohol, and high problem with marijuana now that it's become, you know, legalized. Mm-hmm. And people think that it does not cause a problem because it's a medicine or could be used for medicinal uses. Mm-hmm. And that could be the case for some people, but not for everybody, and especially not for people who are under the age of 25.
Mm-hmm. Just to back you on that, I have here alcohol use is a disorder. It's the most common substance addiction in the United States, followed by nicotine and marijuana. About 12 or older in the U.S. have alcohol use disorder. So I'm just kind of backing you up on what you just said about the marijuana. And what disturbs me is that number, that kids at the age of 12 even know what that is. That's disturbing to me. Mm-hmm.
It's an epidemic.
Yeah, it's epidemic,
and it's been introduced earlier and earlier as we, you know, as we evolve.
Yeah.
So questions to ask ourselves, right? We have to ask ourselves, you know, asking, is there any flags that are going up that are saying, I'm getting too much of a good taste of this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, do I have the ability to stop? Am I able to really stop? If I said today, I'm not going to drink anymore for a month, can I actually do it? Or will I miss it?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, a self-guiding question in terms of, can I do it? It has my tolerance increased to the substance that I'm using?
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, this goes for all substances, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm using the word I because I doesn't hold me responsible for anybody else I could be talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So if marijuana gave me the desired effect, I no longer get that desired effect, I may be starting to create that change in the circuits in the brain where I may be starting that whole problem with addiction.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing with alcohol. If I used to drink a glass of wine and now I have to drink a bottle of wine, I may be increasing my tolerance, and that may be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Our intense focus on the substance. Where am I going to do it? Do I feel like I'm doing it too much in front of people? Am I becoming self-aware of, I shouldn't be doing this? Those are all telltale signs of watch what you're doing. Be aware of how you feel. Be aware of what your body and your mind and your logic is telling you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lack of control. I can't stop drinking if I start. Withdrawal symptoms. You know, you wake up in the morning after having a great night out with friends and your hands are shaking, or, you know, you can't get over this hangover or this anxiety that after drinking withdrawals give you for a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
There's been impairment of family or work, meaning you missed work because you woke up feeling tired or this or that after a night of drinking, or family is saying, wow, your mood is really changing when you're drinking, and you're becoming a nasty drunk, or did you forget that last night, or things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, all of these things are actually telltale signs that can be, if the shame of addiction was removed, if the stigma of addiction was removed, then we could more openly talk about it, then we could have self-evaluation pursued or medical evaluation pursued. We can be honest with our physical, you know, every year when we go to have our physicals done, and when they ask about how many drinks do you drink per week, per day, be honest in our answers and really be transparent with ourselves, because if we're not, the problem just grows.
Because I'm listening to everything you're saying, but I definitely want to highlight some things that I've learned about it. So for some, and I'm going to reiterate some of the things that you've said, but for some people, it's very easy to become addicted to these substances. For others, it's harder. Much of this is based in a person's genetic disposition. And in fact,
absolutely.
Yeah, and in fact, the National Institute of Drug Abuse reports that some scientists estimate 40 to 60% of a person's rise of developing addiction is based on genetics. And so for me, I want people out there that if you have an addiction problem, to know that this might not be your fault. And I think when they recognize it's not their fault, because it's who they, where they're from, that it's not your fault. So don't be hard on yourself because the substance got to you. I want to help somebody out there if they're not blaming themselves and saying, I'm a loser, or oh my God, and all that, because it's literally, like Carolina's saying, it is in your brain. It is a chemical, and you don't know it. And if you start younger, the more probability you're going to be addicted. So please recognize, again, 40 to 60% of a person's developing addiction is based on genetics. Now, and because I'm very passionate about this, and I'm really big about our kids, and then I'm going to come back. I'm reiterating everything you've said, but I just want everyone to know it's not their fault. And there are people that do make their own decisions based on what you've just told us, whether or not to use drugs or alcohol. And sometimes it does. It is personal responsibility. We're not going to deny that either. But I want you to pay attention to the statistics of what I just said. And one of the, and I'm going to clarify what you just said to our listeners, a major environmental contributor to developing an addiction is whether or not the individual's friends and social circles engage in regular substance abuse. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Okay. And if the person feels pressured to use drugs or alcohol with their friends, this can be the beginning habit that may result in substance misuse. And then by the time they start this bad habit is when you figure out it's in the family, it's in the genetics. So I'm not done. I just have a couple more things. I'm going to give it back to you because I really read a little bit about this last night. Substitute abuse, this is according to the Substance Abuse and Addiction Statistics 2023. 13.5% of young adults age 18 to 25. Do you guys remember you were 18 to 25? 13.5% of young adults age 18 to 25 had both a substance use disorder and in mental illness in this past year. And 40%, again, listen to the statistics, and this is 2023, 47% of our young people have used an illegal drug by the time they graduated from high school. Do you guys remember when I was a kid? I was a kid then. And other users in the last 30 days, so 5% of 8th graders, 20% of 10th graders, 24% of 12th graders. And if you're a teenager, I mean, how do you know? You don't know this is happening. It's too late. Valerie, do you have anything to say about what I'm talking about here?
Yeah, I do have some experience also within the schools. They do try to help the families with that, with their children, because I remember my kids coming home and telling me what happened that day and saying they had us in the auditorium and they went over drugs on the end, but they did it to an excess. And then one of my kids, I remember, came home and said, oh my gosh, just give me the drugs already, they won't stop talking about it. And it can be, I feel like the schools, instead of keep just harping on that, they can teach the kids how to say no. So work on saying no with your child and when you are peer scenarios, and I think that's really helpful, and also helping them choose the right groups of friends, you know, not just based on what they're doing and how that can harm you.
Yeah. Carolina, what do you think about what she just said? And I'm going to add to it after I hear, and Greg, you too.
Yeah, Matt? Well, I think that's amazingly important. And I agree with her a lot that, you know, in the school system, I mean, through the Mendez Foundation, through the people that go into the schools, that we need to really press on saying no. And we also need extended education for the parents of the kids in the schools to help them understand the importance of talking to their kids about the family history and the genetics, you know, factor of all of this. Meaning, a child should be taught to say no, not just based on the consequences that a drug can give them, but also on the adverse consequences of it, but also based on the fact that they know, listen, diabetes runs in my family, therefore I have to be good with my diet. Addictions run in my family, therefore no, I will not do that, because it opens the door to a lot of things that I don't want to have to deal with.
Right.
You know, understanding the parents have a big job in this. It isn't just the school, but the parents have to have a job in this, saying, being afraid to talk about these things at home, and really having the education necessary to pass on the fact that you open that door and, you know, you're talking about percentages that are really high, you sometimes cannot come back from it. Of kids that have been diagnosed with not just, you know, not just the youth or not diagnosed, but this percentage goes hand in hand with the kids that have now been diagnosed with co-occurring disorders as a result of using drugs that have either created a mental health issue or vice versa, mental health issue problems that are now compounded by substance abuse problems.
But you,
and
oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Leading also, I was just going to say, leading also to the fact that this year, Hillsborough County school system, that, you know, I don't know about the other school systems, but the Hillsborough County school system is now providing free mental health access to children who need it. And I think that parents need to know about this as well, you know, whether it's to be used for proactive purposes or for educational ones.
Yeah, I agree with everything you've said and everything that Valerie's said, but I'm going to add to it. I remember just say no when we were a kid. I remember that. And you don't realize it until you're a parent. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, I feel like it should be brought into our education system when they're in third grade. I mean, it starts younger. These kids in fourth or fifth grade, they're with older kids, their older siblings. They need to be educated, and not just a visit at the school. It needs to be educated in the school, and I think they need fear of God. I know for me, I'll say this real quick. Gosh, I can't believe the time's running by so quick again. But for me, when I was in third grade, I saw someone laying down on a driveway, and my mother said, "That guy overdosed." I was in third grade. And I'm going to tell you, it put the fear of God in me where I did not even want, in third grade. I'm not saying, but I know for me, it worked to never, I never touch drugs. I'm terrified of them. But I do think we need to hear all the side effects about it, Carolina and Valerie and Greg. I don't know if you guys agree with me. I think that's great, but we really need to start educating our youth in elementary on a regular basis, not just for a visit. And I know parents that are doing it, but it needs to be in our school system, because it is a problem, and it's causing problems outside of our entire world.
Isn't that the saying, show me the boy of seven and I'll
show you the man?
So I'm just passionate about it because it's a sad thing, and I feel like there's a lot of, we're all born innocent, and it's what gets to our kids. The phone does not help. You don't know who they're hanging out with when you talk about peer pressure. But listen, those kids need help too. I hope someone hears this out here, and I hope that we can get it in our school systems at a young age. Any closing thoughts?
I hope so too. I hope so too.
Yeah, and Carolina, before we go, also, I'd like to ask you, there is one thing. Have you ever heard of National Take Back Day?
National Take Back Day. I have heard very little about it, but I have heard it's a big movement. So tell me a little bit about it.
Well, it says, the DEA promotes National Take Back Day, encouraging people to hand over their expired and unused medications.
Oh, yes. So, I have heard of that.
Yeah, they canceled it April 2020 due to lockdowns. I think we need to take back the Take Back Day, because some people don't have support or have any family members to help them with this addiction. I think that people think, hey, I can take all these, and it's just the first step towards hopefully getting better. So anyway, and Caroline, I really appreciate you coming on. Do you have any closing statements?
I do. I think that a lot of the addiction comes from a place of feeling hopeless, depressed, alone sometimes, apart from the genetics, apart from the, you know, from the mental health issues. And, you know, and we constantly try to be a society that seeks happiness, and happiness is fleeting. And I think that a good way to try to also be proactive about preventing addiction is to have, you know, to live meaningfully, to seek meaning and not happiness. And happiness is, you know, like I said, fleeting, but meaning gives you a sense of purpose. And so belonging to and serving something beyond yourself, seeking meaning in your life, giving back, you know, and living outside of your constant seeking of pleasure is very powerful in fighting addiction.
Right, and again, it's genetics, so sometimes it's something that you need to be aware of. So thank you, Carolina, so much for being on with us today. I've gone over my time because I feel like this is something I could talk about for months, and it's never ending. I definitely would like to have you back on. Thank you so much for being on. I'm going to have a closing statement about this, and then we're going to listen to a song real quick, and then we're going to talk about healthy addictions in 1 second. Do you have anything to say?
I just wanted to, can the listeners know how they can contact her? Because she's really incredible.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. Carolina.
If they need her help.
Yeah.
And Valerie made a good point. Can our listeners contact you with all your wonderful information that you just gave? Is there any way they can contact you for help?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. So my name is Carolina Gleason, and I can be reached at area code 813-541-9162. And my website is Carolina Gleason, Tampa Life Coach .com.
Thank you so much. You're amazing. I'm going to have you back on this topic. It's a broad topic, and there's just not enough time to talk about it.
But exactly.
Yeah, and thank you. And hopefully, you know, even if there's one person that makes a change, or we can get this in our school system and do something about it. I don't want to talk about, oh, it's 5 days treatment when they're, you know, 35. I want to start now with our new youth that are coming up, and we need to be a loud voice. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And thank you, Valerie, for your information, too. That was amazing. So, and I'm going to say this, too, for all of you adults out there. Addictions are treatable with professional medical treatment and commitment. Millions of people have overcome substance abuse disorders and behavior addictions to live happy and healthy lives. So get your help. It's not your fault. 60% of it's probably genetic. There is hope out there. Don't be hard on yourself, but you have to make that first step of recognizing it's not my fault. So with that, we're going to go into our song. I'm not going to play it too long because I'm down. It's already... Where does the time go?
See, you can't miss when you've got good material. And after we play the song, I got a story for you that relates to the song we're going to play.
But can I say something?
Sure.
Did I say it? No, I didn't say the wrong word.
No.
So this song is called Far Behind. It's by Candlebox. Valerie and I are going to the concert this week,
Let's
the Three
go.
Doors Down and Candlebox. I used to think this was a romantic song, but it's not. And what it's about, and I want everyone, again, listen to the lyrics, okay? Because what this is about, it's about two friends who overdosed on heroin. And it represents the loss of love between friends and having to be left with the feeling of emptiness. So let's listen. Take a listen to Far Behind. Wow, Far Behind. Think about that song and help one another, especially people that have addictions. And now we're
going to... I mentioned this before the break. I got a good story about this.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, I'll make this quick.
Yeah, no, you're good.
So I saw them playing concert in New York about 5 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Went with a couple of friends from my old job. And one of my buddies preaches this all the time, and so do we here on the show, that music heals.
Yes.
And I didn't realize how much of an impact... My friend loves Candlebox. absolutely loves Kano
We're
Box.
Going Friday night.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
So he loves Kano Box, and that is his favorite song. I never realized how much of an impact it had when the guys play that song live at that show. I look at my buddy, he's literally next, and this guy's a big guy, he's like twice my size, he's well built, he's muscled, tattoos all over him, he looked intimidating. Seeing him bawling his eyes out, I realize now how much of an impact that song had on him and helped change his life.
Right.
And that goes to show, we say it all the time here on the show, music has that much of an impact. There you go.
And that's why we're here today on the Shrink and Wrap Show and The Fray too, you know, How to Save a Life. And I think those are great songs to just listen to and watch the videos. They're very, very, they'll touch you. So here we're transitioning into healthy addictions and specifically tennis. And we're joined here today by Master Tennis Instructor Greg Lesser. Thank you so much for being here. And his lovely wife, Valerie, thank you so much for being here. You guys are great, lovely couple. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So, Greg, thank you. And so, can you tell us a little bit about your background?
Yeah, sure. She played 9 Wimbledons, and she was actually a founding player of the WTA, which is the Women's Tennis Association of Professional Athletes, I guess.
Wow.
And they just had a big celebration before the U.S. Open where they honored the founding players. So she came out for that. And she was on stage with Billie Jean King and all the kind of legends that you may have heard of. So, so I have that as it was a pretty high bar or standard to meet. So, so that's kind of a little bit of my background with my family. And
what is your mom's name?
Laura. And she played under Laura Russo. That was her maiden name.
Nice. And where are y'all from again?
South Africa, Cape Town.
Okay, that's awesome. Gosh, we just missed her. And you were around, right?
Oh, yes.
Maybe next time she comes in town, she can come on the Shrink and Wrap Show with y'all.
Oh, definitely. She has many motivational stories. Her story is amazing.
That's all. I'd love to hear it sometime.
I'm waiting for the book. So, Mom, if you're listening, where's that book?
All right, we'll be waiting. We'll promote it here at the Shrink and Wrap Show, too. So Greg, could you please explain a little bit about the online tennis instruction company that you have, business?
Yeah, so, interesting, just a little thing, just to pick up a little bit on the last conversation. I'm in a sort of the business, but my profession is really changing habits. Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting listening to Carolina.
Yeah, Carolina.
And, she kept talking about awareness. And with what we do, as coaches, is the student, has to have that awareness first. And then once they're aware, then there's the acceptance.
Right.
And then becomes the commitment. So I thought it was really interesting because all the behavior and tennis, the skills in our brain, and we have to make a change in our brain. So it's really interesting listening to what she was saying, and the similarities. Obviously, I'm dealing with tennis, and she's dealing with something a lot more serious. But I thought there was a interesting correlation with changing habits.
Definitely a good parallel, and it's a positive addiction. So you can probably have a positive addictions, right?
Yes, it definitely is. Our students are positively addicted to tennis. I'll say that. And interesting about tennis. From a longevity standpoint, they did a study and they found that tennis players outlived extended their lifespan by like up to 9 years.
Wow.
Versus people who were sedentary. And they compared it to running and solo sports, and the front runners extend their lifespan by 3 years. 9 years. So it's really interesting that the social aspect and the healthy exercise that comes with it can really be a positive impact on our lives.
I know that. Do you play tennis? Are you a good tennis player, Valerie?
My daughter Ava is.
I know Ava is.
Not that great, but
I bet you're better at what yourself.
He helps me.
Yeah,
don't have time.
I can tell you this. One time, I thought I was really in shape. And my friend took me out to play tennis, and I was like, oh my gosh, I could not breathe. And then she was out there, it was for the W. We were not there making friends. It was for the W. I'm like, girl,
the competitive spirit came out.
Yeah, it was competitive. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
But it is. It definitely gets you into shape, no matter how much shape you think you're in.
Yeah.
So, Greg, could you please explain what sets your tennis teaching approach apart from others?
Yeah, so I think the big part is that we use a lot of video analysis.
Yeah.
And if you take a golf lesson, you almost cannot take a golf lesson without being videoed.
Mm-hmm.
But if you take a tennis lesson, hardly ever do you get video to see what you're actually doing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one thing, as an online tennis instruction, that we are so big on using video analysis.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, with our online platform, people send in videos, mm-hmm. and we analyze them, and then we pinpoint them to videos within the courses to watch, and then how to go about making those corrections. So that's one thing that I find is really kind of separates us from regular tennis instruction. And then just me, myself, you know, using video, but also, you know, when you're making changes, mm-hmm. As we mentioned, the skills in the brain, you actually have to slow things down and use a series of progressions to get somebody from making a change with a shadow swing without a ball to actually implementing a match play. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times, you know, a regular tennis lesson is hitting the ball across the net mm-hmm. and have instructions yelled at you, and there's absolutely no way that you can make any significant change or improvement that way. You actually got to slow things down, because once again, the skills in the brain. So understanding that learning process is really critical, and that's really why people come to us, because they've kind of hit like a roadblock. Mm-hmm. You know, they've been playing for so long, they love the game, and they know it's healthy, and then they're addicted in a healthy way.
Right.
And they're not getting better. Right. And that's when they find us, and then they committed, and it takes time to change habits, but we show them, you know, where their floor is, they see it, mm-hmm. and then we show them the course of action you take on how to now make that change.
I wanted to work on my forehand.
Forehand, all right, definitely. So we would warm up, you know, so we'd start slow.
Okay.
You don't want to get injured, you know.
Yeah.
We want to have longevity.
Yeah.
And we warm up, and I'd watch you hit.
Yep.
And then I would set up my iPad on the tennis court. Now, in the clinic, I'll have people actually hitting and feeding.
Yep.
In a private lesson, I'll be doing that. And we'll video your forehand. And then we'll come over to your side, and then we'll look at the video right there and there on the court. Mm-hmm. And we have this editing software. I'll record it as I'm doing it. So mm-hmm. I'll draw on it. I'll voice over it. Sometimes I'll compare a pro or myself to it, so you can see what it should look like.
Right.
First step. So we create that awareness, mm-hmm. and usually people have accepted when they come to us.
Yes.
So they accept, okay, this is what I need to improve, because we focus on fundamentals, and then we go about the process. You know, we first start with shadow swings, and then, you know, one thing you do is shadow, then we slowly introduce the ball and increase the speed and of the ball and the difficulty of the feet, and we build it up that way. So that, you know, that's one part, and the other part, you know, normal tennis lesson, you know, usually in an hour, you do forehand, backhands, forehand volley, backhand volley, overhead, serve. So you do 10 minutes on six strokes. But mm-hmm. the reality is, if you want to get better, you can't. You have to spend time on one thing.
Right.
And then once you get it better, then you can introduce the other aspects.
Like everything else. And I asked Valerie, I said, is stroke like one of the terms? See, I was going to play Billy Squire's song, The Stroke, but I'm like, I don't know. And that's a great song for tennis. I don't know, but Valerie will think about that. So
have you heard Robin Williams' take on golf?
That's right. But, no, I see that you have. I feel bad. I've got about 2 minutes to wrap it up. And I'd love to have you guys back on too. But I see you have 5-day intensive clinics coming up in Germany, St. Lucia, and Naples. Can you tell us how you differ, you know, about your weekend's lessons?
Sure, yeah. So real quick, you know, we do weekend clinics. I'm going to Rhode Island tomorrow. I'm going to do a serve clinic, and then a 2-day clinic. We do forehand, back, and serve. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's when we fly to our students. Yep. Some of them drive in, some of them will fly in. And we just work, you know, we work with them, we have lunch with them, but then they all go separate ways in vacations. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes it'll be Cape Town. We just got back from Cape Town in February. It's my hometown.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we'll have 5 days on the court, but, you know, we'll have our breakfast, we'll have lunches, we'll have some dinners together. And in Cape Town, we took them all around. We showed them all the different sites and places to go. So the it's a little more intense because it's 5 days, but we meet so many great people. They come back to these events, and it's just a great thing where you get people who are just all into tennis and they want to improve, and it's just a great great environment. Everyone's getting better.
Valerie had invited me to your clinics, and it was amazing. And we went down to Sarasota. There was about 5 of us that went down there, so we got a chance to get a an idea of how that goes. And so it was great. And you're meeting people. You're taking a little staycay or vacation, basically going somewhere. And in your case, Germany's kind of far, but we went to Sarasota. But I definitely want to say it's a great balance of life. It's living a happy life. it's being fit, and you're meeting new people, and it's such a neat concept. I just love that it's online tennis. So where can they find you?
Yeah, so we have a website. It's www.onlinetennisinstruction.com, or they can contact me directly. Greg, G-R-E-G-G, two G's, it's not Gregory, at onlinetennisinstruction.com. So you can contact me there.
And can you repeat it one more time?
I don't think people realize he's right here in your backyard in Tampa.
That's he's in the 813 area code, right?
Yep.
So thank you so much, and we will be announcing these clinics, and I definitely would like to have you all back on. I'm sorry I'm rushing. It's 3:53, and I've got two more guests and a closing song. Thank you for being on, and you're coming back, and we'll let our listeners know where those clinics are. Because listen, you don't have to be out there. You just sign up online, and then you just. Well, it's just because I can't see it at night.
Okay.
Okay, for Friday night.
All right, sounds good.
Thank you so much. So, and
hi,
Linda. I'm so sorry. Of course, there I go again. I was talking, and I went over my time today. This is Linda. She is our trivia girl. It is football season. And Linda, I hate to tell you, you got like 2 minutes, but I want to hear, tell us what you have for trivia today. Thank you for being on the Shrink a Wrap Show. Tell us what you're going to talk about your trivia question on the state of Florida and the eight.
With football season being here, everyone's excited. The football Heisman Trophy winners in Florida, it's one of the biggest attractions. We have Florida State. We have Jameis Winston.
Uh-huh.
We have Chris Winkie, who was the oldest person to ever win the Heisman. Uh-huh. And then we have Charlie Ward, who played basketball at Spurrier. Everyone loves Steve Spurrier, the coach. We've got Tim Tebow, everybody's favorite, Tim Tebow. Go Gators. And we end it with two guys from Miami.
Mm-hmm.
We have Gino Toretta. And then Vinny Testaverde.
And, of course, Vinny Testaverde. We had his wife on, you know, Mitzi's our mutual friend, and she was on last week talking about that lifestyle of the NFL. And that was the only one I really kind of knew, but I did know Danny Werfel. I did know a couple of them, but I forgot. But you know what, Linda? I didn't know that there were eight Heisman Trophy winners here in the state of Florida. That's good trivia. Did you guys know that?
It's impressive.
Oh.
Matt, did you know that?
I did.
Yeah, no, that's... I guess. I don't know. Linda, thank you so much for that trivia. We hope to have you back on. I have like literally 2 minutes, and I kind of warned you about this, but because I feel bad.
Okay.
I feel bad that I have to cut her off. It's awful.
No, it's all good.
Okay.
By the way, the big game this weekend is Alabama and USF right here in Tampa.
Oh.
Alabama's coming to town.
Our alumni. USF and Alabama, but you know I'm going to be rooting for USF. Sorry.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah, go Bulls.
Exactly.
Yeah. Linda, thank you so much, and I hope to have you back on, and we'll talk more about trivia. You're the trivia, Linda, the trivia girl. She had her own show, and we welcome her to the Shrink and Wrap Show. Thank you so much for your patience, and we look forward to talking to you soon.
Thanks, Tracy.
All right, Linda, thank you. Okay, we're going to shift gears quickly to our Renee, our entertainment host. We got about 2 minutes, maybe three. Renee.
Hello, my favorite radio rock and roll fan.
Oh, I better be your favorite. Thank you.
Yes.
How are you doing?
Good, thank you. I have a follow-up trivia question. First of all, this goes with what's happening this weekend.
Okay.
Have you all been to the new sound, the new redesign of the amphitheater at Coachman Park yet?
I hate to break your heart, but I have. I have. One time. And
you
I got in trouble. Trish and I got in trouble.
Recently?
Yeah, because she was trying to pull me up closer. I almost got kicked out. I'm like, girl. And I'm tired. I've followed rules all my life. I thought I'm going to try to break a little rules to get near the stage, and then I get in trouble. It was embarrassing.
But I want to know how you did it without me.
You were somewhere else. But tell us about the sound.
So
tell us about the sound. I want to know more about it, though.
Here's a little question.
Uh-huh.
What is the new redesign, the shape of the redesign of our Coachman Park, the amphitheater?
And
here's a hint.
Oh, go ahead.
It looks like the names of one of our professional athletic teams in the Tampa Bay, St. Pete area.
A baseball.
Nope.
A manatee.
Nope.
I think Clearwater Manatee. Okay, I give up. And we got like 30 seconds. You better tell
us. Okay. It's a stingray, you guys.
I was close. Oh. No, manatee. I was close. Oh. Manatee is kind of close to that.
Well, manatee does not represent one of our professional teams, though.
Well, I know. I
forgot
that
part. Something fun happening here this weekend.
Yeah, what's going on at the Sound? What's going on at the Sound?
It's Kenny Loggins, September 6th, 7:30. Nice. And you know what, guys? I had no idea how many number one hits he had, one of which is my favorite, and of course, I love to dance to, is Footloose.
Oh, Footloose, that's right.
Do you remember?
Yes,
and then
I do.
I'm All Right, and another famous song, Danger Zone from Top Gun,
yeah.
The movie Top Gun.
Of course.
Yep, he's there this weekend.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we're going to have to, like, maybe visit that place. Oh.
Yeah, hey,
this is my to-go. I got to wrap it up. I got Matt. Renee, we'll talk to you in 2 weeks. And for those of you struggling with this disease of addiction, believe in yourself. Know you matter. And remember, genetics can play a role. Seek help, get support, and find your purpose. Have a great day. And this is from Panic in the Disco. Let's take a listen to Look, Mom.
Look, demon stocks and bonds and Bible traders.